Yes, please.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, please.
Corey?
Yes, please.
Hi, are you all right?
Yes, you can write through.
Okay. My can's about adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a little thing, you know, AOD, adjust or die. Right? It's all in your hands. Life is always about choice. I was even saying that because we have to take this thing to the highest level. I personally feel, and I think government have to make it into law, that once you go to the public domain, you should be wearing your mask. I was on YouTube the other day, I heard the governor, the mayor of New York, said that this thing, when you sneeze, you don't have one mask, you sneeze. Those droplets last in the atmosphere for up to 4 hours. If you are infected and you, let's say you're on public transport and you handle the bus rail, you're sitting in the seat, it remains there for 72 hours. I see a lot of barbarians going about their labor if nothing is happening. My concern is that what they're doing, how it can affect and impact on other people, people who are doing necessary things. And the last time I spoke to you, when I said that they should be jailed, you said, oh, put them at Dawes and this. Put them at Harrison's Point. They're going to get in a criminal record. If they could adjust there, they should be able to adjust when they come back home.
One of the good things about that call, Pete, is that I think that we have, since your comments, I've heard commentary on the radio about that same thing and the moving towards that. They had some stipulations in place before, but I think that they're thinking about getting it stricter. So I think your claims have not fallen on deaf ears.
I also think too that you need to change your eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
Eat things that will boost your immune system, because it's your immune system that's under attack. And we have a lot of things right here. I was in town the other day, and I saw people in long lines waiting to go into the market. Hardly anybody was at the vendors who were selling the squash, the ginger, the turmeric. Hardly anybody. And that's where you should be.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I actually agree with you on that. I remember when we had people buying up the toilet paper and so on, and they actually showed pictures just above buying up some of the things people were buying it, just above the shelf, you had the vitamin C, you had all those things still fully stocked, and it wasn't a case of them being just repacked. But a lot of people were missing the real essentials, you know, the prevention. They were looking towards the cure. So I think that's an interesting point.
My last thing, I remember when former Prime Minister Wanapa was in office, he had advanced idea about going back to backyard farm and also planting a fruit tree. What a lot of people does not realize, vitamin C does not store long. So if you have, let's say, an orange tree or a tree in your yard where you can go and just pluck the fruit and utilize it right away, you have direct access to vitamin C. For instance, they left Florida and come across the seas and all that. By the time they get here, the vitamin C is no longer there. So you can just eat the orange peel too. But we have to, and especially children, parents got to get tough with the children as far as the eating habits is concerned. Talk to them and let them know that what you are being given is what will cause you to live a little longer. Forget the other things that they're accustomed to. This thing is going to should bring a lot of changes in attitudes, whether it's habit or what eating habits, whatever. And I hope that when this thing has passed, that we will continue on that path.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for that. We getting the guests back online, but while we do that, this one says hi. I think assessment, not end of term exam, should be given for promotion of students from form 1 to 3. and says, loving your modernist style as usual, but hey, do you believe that parents should still pay private school fees? And I'm talking about a story in the paper this week. We leave that one right there and we go back to the lines and say, good morning and welcome. You are on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Please.
Yes, please.
Hi, I want Peter the Cook.
Yes, do we have Selena Dawson back on?
Hi, Celine. Hi. It's an interesting thing that you addressed today about fast food player shot. But, you know, you come up with your grandfather, your grandmother, and you know, so do bits and lemonade. Right? But no, you know, no, they got salmon, they got hamburger, they got nuggets. You know, how you gonna get them to come back to that old time way? Because, you know, sometimes you know, still fish. It's like sardine bits.
Well, I think...
You understand where I'm coming from? That you come with macaroni and corned beef. They don't like that. Oh, that's not my food. The cut of a chicken and macaroni and potato. How you could get to go back to that?
Well, the thing about it is I don't know if it's a matter of going back or if it's a matter of blending. Because, you know, as we grow more advanced, everything changes. You know, food changes. Food is very trendy. You know, it's a form of art. So people add in all kind of things all the time. But I think the thing about it is that with food, there are things that are classics. And like how you said about burgers or whatever. Everywhere in the world, you can find burgers. Because a burger is something that everybody likes across the world. There's some foods that you don't see everybody like it. And then there's other foods that everybody has accepted. So I think the thing about it is that we need to, like what you said, I think there's maybe a lack of mentorship where, you know, sometimes people don't teach you how to cook. They cook and they give you, so then you don't know how to do it yourself. That needs to come back in the family, especially a sense of mentorship. Even for myself, I realize that for me, you know, I don't make any money being on the internet or anything like that, but I like to share because I feel like it will help somebody else. And I think that's what we need to do. So if you tell people how to make something, especially simple things. I remember when I wanted to know how to make sauce, it was the biggest secret.
Yeah.
My grandmother had passed away, and the boy wouldn't teach me how to make pudding for the sauce because I figured out the sauce by myself. And what I'm saying is that we have, I understand people have their recipes and they might not want everybody, but you need to share. I think that's one of the main things that this crisis will teach us, is that we need to share with others, even if it's sharing ideas, not actual food. Sometimes you just need to show somebody how to do something, and then people feel more empowered to try it when you tell them, you know, well, this is how you do this thing. And then the other thing I think, too, is improvising. Because I think sometimes you might not have this ingredient or that ingredient, but when you understand that that food is a fluid thing, like how you said sardine bait. I've never had a sardine bait, but my mother's Jamaican. She makes sardine and fried dumplings. So what I'm trying to say is similar, right? So so you can do different things. And if you don't have to say, well, hey, I ain't got no salt fish, so right now I can't eat. You might have tuna in your cupboard or some other fish that you can then decide to adapt. So I think it's a matter of empowerment first, when you feel that you can adapt because you know what you're doing. So that takes that means we have to share and teach. And then from there, when a person knows that they need to understand, they can adapt. So just because you don't have one single ingredient doesn't mean you can't make something.
True. I saw that 19 was here because me and you will put me heads together and just do a mean course and just get everybody and let us see, you know, go back to the old time and let us see what we do. Since you come from Jamaica, Barbados, did you see them? But one of my guest dumplings, we might get fish kits, we might get Saturday bits, and you'll get started something else. So if they say, was I here, I wish I would meet you, and let me put my head together and just show everybody and learn them, go up on a little place, and let us come and learn how to cook and to go back this order. Because I remember when I went to school at St. Lucie, I wasn't so popular in having money and things. And the first day I came to school was bits and eggs and lemonade. I fry it myself, I do it myself, but you know, try to laugh at me because I wasn't in that kind of range to carry school money, but I still had a meal.
And it's a meal that a lot of people are grateful for right now.
Yes,
so it
please.
Shows the same point about the mindset because at the end of the day, if you know how to do something, nobody can take away that skill from you, and you can always use that skill to develop yourself. It's true. I think even simple things like baits, people are not confident anymore the same way they should be to make them. And these are really easy things that people can do that will stop them at least from going hungry.
Flour, sugar, layer salt, and some butter, water. If you don't want to put the sugar, you can put a layer of honey and sweeten the flour with it. Simple and easy.
Nice.
Drop them in all of your fridge. Have a good day, tights. But I would like to meet you all these good days that we put our hands together and do a menu for everybody. Okay.
I love it.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye.
I love that conversation because I think that people listening can now start to practically, you know, turn the corner, move the needle, get to a point where the survey, you know, because I remember, and people used to joke about these things. A friend of mine told me when, you know, his girl wanted some fish and chips, he ain't had any money, and he gives you some salmon and Lay's. And I said to myself, if you move from that beyond a joke, you can see literally the examples you gave in, or the lady, the caller gave in terms of, you know, sardine, she said sardine bits or sardine kits. I never thought of those things. And I think that as we go forward, we can actually, as you say, you call it, you say food is an art, you know, it's fluid. You could change, you could put something different.
Yeah,
could...
a lot of people are very stuck in their ways. The other day I made some doubles, but I put saltfish in it. And I told my Trinidadian cousin, and I know his belly was hurting him. He couldn't believe that I put saltfish and still call it doubles. And I said, but it's a double. It has every element of double, but I also added saltfish. And he was like, no. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so who gives the man that made doubles the right to keep doubles all to himself? He gets to say what it is, and nobody else can do any variation. And I think that's what we have to look at now. Even as far as the other day, I shared a cake, and it was a vegan version of a chocolate cake I normally make. This cake ain't had in no eggs, and it had in no milk. So what it means, though, is that a lot more people can eat it, and also you save your eggs, and you save your milk, and you still get cake. So sometimes we have to look at ways of making things, adapting a little bit, changing up things a little bit. And, you know, I think there's a joy to it, too, when it comes out well. Of course, it might not come out good, but...
that story sounds really, really familiar.
Once you know the ingredients, you can eat it.
That story sounds so familiar, and I can tell the public it tastes really good.
Oh, I see. And that's my point. The point is that you can do... You think that you are limited, but for instance, that's what I'm saying. When you look at different groups of people, like people who are gluten-free or people who have different dietary restrictions, they are adapting their meals. So sometimes even in our having being forced to adapt because of not having an ingredient, if you realize you do not have something but you want to make something, you can look up like something egg-free. You can look up, we have Google nowadays. Mm-hmm. Look it up egg-free and see who's made it egg-free already and look for how much stars the recipe has. And you can try it. So you don't have to be so afraid of saying, well, I don't have this ingredient. Because I know for me, getting eggs was a headache at first. Then I had to buy, I bought so much eggs. Now it can take me a good while to get rid of them. Because then I ordered eggs from a million people. I wasn't getting them, and they all came the same time. So, but my point being that I know people would say, well, I don't have this chef or I don't have that. But not having certain things is not always an excuse because we can adapt. And we can try different ways of making things, which we will then come to like. And all of that creativity is what existed in the past that made our traditional meals know, like the pudding and sauce, like the baits. All of these things came out of necessity. It wasn't that the people there magically knew bakes. They said, what can I do? I only got flour here. And they made something. And that is what we have to do in at this time now as well. Get creative and not... get too depressed. Use it as an opportunity to educate ourselves and learn new things.
All right, just a
I
quick...
I would also like to suggest go ahead, at this point. I have... If you go on Facebook, but the thing is, I know it depends on who you know. Mm-hmm. My news feed is full every day. Some random person will come on and say, I just got... Well, one person came and said, I just got zucchini from my vegetable order. They ordered a vegetable box, so zucchini came. They had never cooked zucchini. They wanted to know what to do with it. And I mean, the thing is that some people came in with some suggestions that I had never even thought about for zucchini. And then you got, and I think after that, then you started seeing people come in saying, okay, I have sweet potatoes. Is there something else I can do other than boil it? And people came in with some other suggestions. So, again, in this time where we're trying to talk about how we're embracing technology, utilize your social platforms.
True.
Ask the question. ask a question and share. I have 28 food allergies. And I'm a celiac, so I adapt recipes all the time.
You said you are a what?
I have celiac disease, so okay. I don't use wheat or gluten.
Wheat.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Right,
exactly. So she's adapting. The thing is, I think, you know, at the end of the day, when you have seen people on fitness journeys, you understand that people sometimes, the biggest block is their mind. People really don't like the idea of adapting, especially when they like something. They don't want to hear anything different. They want to continue their old habits. But we are forced to adapt. So when you are forced to adapt, the best thing you can do is to change your mindset, because otherwise it's going to be miserable and you're still going to have to do it. So I think that's the thing. Some people are saying, oh, I want this, I want that, and I can't get this or I can't get that. It's true. It is difficult. I'm not going to tell you it's not. I'm a chef. I like to have access to any ingredient I can think of because I like to be like that. But you have to understand the times are different and adapt to suit. And in doing so, there is still a level of joy in it because, like, with people with different food allergies and conditions, they have been doing this for a while and still eating nice food. It's not like they're just eating food that they don't like. They're finding ways to make food enjoyable. So sometimes when we don't have ingredients, that should be our main way. And I think especially because of the great amount of gluten-free and vegan recipes that are available even on the internet, I think that's a good way to start, because even if you are a carnivore, you can then always add your meat to the thing or whatever, but it helps you to not have to have all the essentials, especially eggs and milk, which you might want to save at this time when, you know, because I find people are buying food like hurricanes this time, a lot of tuna, a lot of corned beef, a lot of things that are non-perishable items. So if you have your perishables and you want to save them, you can do that. But then the other thing I had wanted to say and make sure to say is that, but as far as fresh vegetables and fruit, especially as long as you can get them, try to utilize them as much as possible for the sake of your health too. So whereas you might have before, you might have said, oh, I was going to make this thing, and it had just like maybe tuna and biscuit. Sometimes if you have cucumbers, you have some sort of carrots, something, add it to it in order to make something more nutritious, because at this point when you're stressed out, especially those of us who are like entrepreneurs, can't work, it will stress you out. So you need to be adding as well, thinking of ways not only to adapt your food, but also to add extra nutrition to the things you're eating. Say, okay, have I had anything green today? What can I add to this to make it a little healthier? Could I put a little bit of chia seeds or linseed or something in my pancake mix? Just try to think little ways to add a little health to what you're doing, because you know that your body is under under a lot of pressure right now.
Yeah. All right, before we go to the lines, just two quick WhatsApps and we go on. Quarter before noon, it says, good morning, Corey. Some aren't appreciative of the help they're getting. I'm a pensioner and I brought $150 for a lady on Wednesday, and by Friday she wanted $50. No more help for her. This one says, morning. Listening to the teacher, couldn't they print the information required for the pupil on A4 paper and drop it to the house? At least something for them to be going on with.
Well, I can see the one concern from that would be we're still then looking at contact.
Right, because I know we're trying to maintain
our physical distance. We're still trying to maintain some sort of physical distance and that sort of thing. And
marking it too, because I have four kids, and the hardest part is not me giving them work, is checking it. Because then you still have to find a way for the teacher then to get back the work as well, to be able to check it.
Okay. Yeah. So I hope that person who messaged me was able to get that response. And this is a good idea. I see here I wanted to put out there. I know we were talking about it earlier about the Beijing Sing-Off competition at Google.com. And we were talking about how we can adjust and things we can do. And I know my guy Sluggy, manners and respect to you there, man. They have the competition, $500 each week cash prize. It's called the Star Home Sing-Off competition. You could go to at Beijing Got Talent at IG Info. And what are they're saying that we will be ensuring that all children and at-risk youth have food, basic essential supplies, and learning equipment and the internet during this time. Persons willing to donate can call him at 236 35, 34, that's 236, 35, 34, all these good initiatives. And that's the positive side of COVID, I say. But we go to the lines at this time and we say, good morning and welcome to our next caller. Welcome to Brass Tack Sunday.
Good morning, Corey and guest, or Corey and the cook. I don't know how to address her.
Wait, we have good the morning. Cook and the teacher.
Good morning. Yeah.
And well, the teacher, I'm a chef yes. now. Yeah, I was a sure. cook when I was like 10 years ago. Okay.
All right. My perspective is this. Look, regarding the online learning, teaching and so. Now, we have made education free. And the leaders of the past and their wisdom did that. Because everybody would not have been able to pay for education. And some would have gotten left by the wayside. Even after education tools started free, you then turn around and got free, in my dear, milk and biscuit. To make sure that you could at least study. And today, you know, the motto of the government is leaving no child behind and looking after every last child. I believe that it would be really unfair to begin this term teaching without making sure that every child has access to a computer and the internet. And to me, the best way to do it is the way they did it in the past. Let the government provide a system for everybody who needs one, because you're not going to provide a top end, which is too expensive. You provide what is minimally required as a system. And to me, they can have a facility where you go online and indicate that you don't have a computer, and either people will come and give you one, or the government at least minimally would provide you with this computer. As far as the internet is concerned, because a computer alone can't work, you must have internet access. I remember the government speaking about making Bridgetown a Wi-Fi-free zone for tourists coming off the ship. And I am thinking that Barbados is a small country. Maybe, I don't know what the cost would be, though. Maybe we can look at making Barbados, the whole of Barbados, a Wi-Fi-free zone. So that once you have a child in the womb, access is automatic. You don't have to hurt your head about anything. Just wake up and you got access and you have a computer, because the government is going to make sure every single child has a computer. And that will solve all of the problems, because some of the problems you mentioned earlier, the teacher mentioned earlier about the child being under 5 years old and all of that, plus the parental involvement, all of that still can be necessary. But that can be secondary, because you've got to first have a computer and you must first have internet in order. So I am saying that I would like to see the government pay for these things, and even if they've got to come.
All right, Carla, hold a minute. Carla,
everybody a little $2.
Carla, hold a minute. Hold a minute. We have a rocket in the line somewhere.
Oh.
All right, go ahead. It's coming from one of the lines. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm saying, right, if you give everybody a computer who needs one, and even if you give us a little tax, say a few dollars, I don't know how much it would be, everybody would pay for the education of those who can't have themselves. And so we would not have the issue of the shortage of a computer. Because sometimes, too, if you beg for them, even if it's for food, those people who give you the computers, you're going to be committed to them afterwards to purchase from them for other government departments, because you've got allegiance to them. So I'm saying that it's better the government buy them. And so they have allegiance to nobody. They're ready to come buy from whoever to feel like any other thing that they need. And that's basically what I'm trying to say. Let the government pay for these things.
Very good suggestion. You know, the counter to that will come in terms of what we hear. The magic question all the time. Where the money can come from, you know? and I always look at it as an investment and not an expense. But the question will still arise. Where the money coming from, you know? But very good suggestion, sir. I want to thank you very much for that. Brass Tack Sunday, we're going to... Oh, we have David Simpson on the line. Brass Tack Sunday, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey. And to your two ladies.
Hi, Winnie.
Hi, dear. Corey, someone called your organization. I think it was... She asked me to tell you that, yeah?
We missed that part.
Someone, a lady called your organization and they said they would get back to them. So far, they haven't get back.
It depends on how long. We had a 3-day wait period backed up, but we're now down to 2. So anybody that haven't gotten a call in 4 days or more need to call again urgently.
Yeah, but it must be really bad for you in it. There's a lot of people in it.
Whoa, I can't even begin to.
What I would like to talk about, you see, I blame the mothers that have been children and their grandmothers for not doing it. When my I'm only going to tell you my experience. When I have my babies, when they were small, like 6 to maybe 2 months, everything I eat, I put a little teeny bit on their tongue, right? And, you know, give them a little taste bud. So, when they get older, I would put things in a blender and blend it and give them. I never buy baby food. Never. Only thing I buy baby food was baby milk. Because, you know, they only take the milk when I'm not there because I was a breastfeeder. So, you know, but the children them today, from they're small, they have been take away food. And they're not eating what you're cooking at home. They don't. Some children today don't even like cuckoo. Some children, you only like macaroni pie and baked chicken. But they don't even want you to cook it. They want you to go and buy it from the shop. You understand?
Yep. I think the lady, one of the callers earlier spoke about the passing down. And when you talk about that, I bring that back to my mind in terms of how we pass down the cooking, the recipes, the so on. My aunt used
to... They don't want it furry. They don't want you to cook it. They want you to go and buy it. And so the parents do what the children say. They're not parents. The children ruling them.
But that's what he's saying. If you start from the beginning, the early, you know, but let me hear the guess. What's your take on this?
I was just saying to myself, ridiculous, because what she said is so true. And it's the fact of the matter is that when a person's palate is not developed, they only like sweet things and things that are just things that we know taste good off the bat. They don't develop their palate. I tell people all the time, like, for instance, people will tell you they don't like olives. But yet the whole of Italy, Syria, Iraq, Iran, all those places on the other side of the world, everybody eats olives. Because they grew up eating them. So sometimes what we think we like or don't like is just about our culture and what we've been exposed to. So it's true. If you can expose your children to different foods from young, their palate will develop and they'll be able to like a lot more home-cooked meals. But I think there people have associated some sort of prestige with buying food.
Which
doesn't make any sense. You know, but this is, it's almost like some sort of conditioning where if for a child to say, oh, I don't want you to make it, I want you to buy it. That shows that that it's not even about the food anymore. But that is something that the parent has instilled in the child, which they themselves would not have to work on taking back out of the child.
But listen to
me. I'm not saying that some parents could cook because maybe the parent food ain't taste good. I don't know. But for the majority of part with Caribbean people, you go to a random person's house and get food, most of the time it tastes good. So I don't think it's a matter of the child not enjoying the meal. I think it does have some sort of psychological attachment to the idea of ready done, buying food, and the food being already prepared. And I think the caller is right. From a young age, we have to expose our children especially to local foods, to things that are available here in Barbados, so that they don't always feel like, oh, I need to have a burger, I need to have fast food. But grow an appreciation for things that other people grew up on. This is why we have the most centenarians and older people in the world, because they grew up eating these earth foods, and we need to bring that back and make that important again.
Yeah, excuse me, darling. Listen to me. Excuse me? Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
What's happened, right? I can make maybe 10 different porridge. I can take $20 and I can feed a family of 6. But today now, if the Chivet and Kentucky open tomorrow, you know the lines you've got in the supermarket?
Yeah.
You'll be getting them in that store. They're not poor, but they're going to find the money to go and buy those takeaway food. Yeah. I don't know why they think that is better. Nothing.
But it's addiction too.
It's home food.
It's addiction.
It's an addiction too.
Yes, it is, but we got to wean the little ones off it now and learn them how to. I think there should be a class. I know the teachers are stretched, but there should be a cooking class, you know, for, even, maybe an hour, 2 hours in a month to let the little young ones know the difference between, you know, food that mommy can cook than the takeaway food. And I'm sorry.
It's true. And, you know, the thing is, once you stop eating foods that have chemicals, if you start back, you can taste the difference. But if you continue eating it, you don't taste the difference anymore. And that's why people don't understand the value of home-cooked food.
No,
yes, I agree.
The parents got to make sure that their children... this thing is a bad thing that happened. But in a way, it's to let us go back to the old-time ways of cooking. You know?
And definitely.
Yes, anyway, take care, yeah?
Thank you all. Thank you very much. Online, Ego11 says, I don't know how people get so posh that they can't put a few things together and make a meal.
But it's not the meal they want.
The other thing, that goes back to what I was talking about, the suggestion of have school meals. The thing is, I have found in the 5-6 different schools that I've taught, in a lot of cases, it is the very children who need school meals who turn their nose up at school meals because...
I don't eat that.
They see it as, this is the one thing that I can control. No, I don't take school meals, you know.
Like embarrassed.
Air could be breaking the back, but they still don't want it because they see they need to purchase something. They need to... I had a child already that came home, that came to school one day with the back of a bread and what looked like the one piece of luncheon meat that had a bite taken out of it that she might have left over from breakfast. And she brought it and she proclaimed to everybody for the whole day, she brought lunch from home. She brought lunch from home. And when I looked at it, I said, your granny did not give you that as lunch from home. I said, yes, I brought it and it's for my lunch. And the thing is that I said, okay, you're going to eat that and then you're going to go and get school meals. And she tried to labor over that. When everybody had gone to play, she then went and she got the school meals and she ate it. And I had a conversation with her. I said, did your granny actually give you that? She says, no, but everybody gets to bring lunch from home and I don't.